Automation snapshots for quick arrangement revisions. Advanced edition. We're doing this in Ableton Live, and the vibe is drum and bass, 172 to 174 BPM. Lots of energy and constant revision requests. Here's the problem we're solving. In DNB, you'll tweak the arrangement a million times. The drop is 2 bars too late. The build needs to feel tighter. The bass needs more bite at bar 33. Then suddenly the breakdown needs to be cleaner. If your automation is spread across a bunch of tracks and lanes, every revision turns into a fragile surgery session. One wrong move, and you've broken the mix. So today we're switching to a snapshot mindset. Think of snapshots like mix poses. Intro is a pose. Build is a pose. Drop is a pose. Breakdown is a pose. And instead of drawing tons of automation, we centralize the important stuff into macro knobs, recall those states instantly using dummy clips in session view, and when we're happy, we print a clean automation pass into arrangement. The advanced goal: faster iteration without losing mix stability. That's the whole game in rolling bass music, where tiny changes matter, but you don't want the whole project to wobble every time you move a section. Before we touch anything, set up a basic arrangement skeleton. Typical rolling layout: intro at bar 1, build at bar 17, drop at bar 33, breakdown at bar 65, drop 2 at bar 81. Outro at bar 113. Make locators for those. You can adjust for your tune, but having these checkpoints makes snapshot printing and reprinting ridiculously fast. Now, project structure. Create groups: drums, bass, music or atmos, and a pre-master group. Route everything into pre-master. Keep the actual master track mostly clean. That's important, because snapshots are about control changes, not chaos on the master. Step 1 is the core idea. Snapshot macros with racks. We're going to build racks that contain the parameters you constantly automate in DNB. Filters, drive, width, a touch of level trimming. The key is, you're not mapping everything. You're mapping the 6 to 10 controls that are most revision sensitive. If you go crazy and map 24 things, you won't remember what matters, and your snapshots become unpredictable. Let's start with the drums group. Drop an audio effect rack on the drums group. Inside it, put devices in this order: auto filter, drum bus, saturator, utility, optionally, frequency shifter for build tension. Now map them to macros. Macro 1 is drum LP. Map it to auto filter frequency. Set it to low pass, 24 dB. Set a smart range, like 200 Hz up to 18 kHz. That range matters. If the range is too wide, tiny changes cause massive mix swings. Macro 2 is drum drive. Map it to drum bus drive. Set the range around 0 to 25%. Macro 3 is drum crunch. Map to saturator drive. Turn soft clip on. Range may be 0 to plus 8 dB. Macro 4 is drum width. Map to utility width. Range something like 80% to 130%. And quick teacher note, you can go wider in a drop, but keep an ear on mono. DNB lives in clubs, and clubs don't care about your wide hats if the punch collapses. Macro 5 can be build tension. If you're using frequency shifter, map fine to 0 to 25 Hz. And keep dry slash wet small, like 0 to 15%. If you don't like how metallic that gets, you can map auto filter resonance instead, with a narrow, safe range. Rename this rack drum snapshot. Now the bass group. Add another audio effect rack on the bass group. Put in EQ8, auto filter, saturator, amp or overdrive, and utility. Map the macros like this. Macro 1, bass bite, saturator drive, soft clip on, range 0 to plus 10 dB. Macro 2, bass LP or open, auto filter frequency, low pass 24 dB, range 120 Hz up to 18 kHz, set resonance modest, like 0.7 to 1.1. If you crank resonance in snapshots, you'll get why is the bass whistling now, surprises. Macro 3, mid focus, map to an EQ8 band gain, something like a bell around 1.2 kHz, range minus 3 to plus 3 dB. This is a very revision friendly macro, because it changes perceived presence without just turning the bass up. Macro 4, bass width. Map to utility width, but keep the range low, like 0 to 40%. Teacher note, in most DNB, bass belongs in the center. If you want width, widen the mid or top bass layers, not the sub. We'll keep this macro conservative. Macro 5, drop level. Map to utility gain. Range minus 3 dB up to 0 dB. This is for quick energy changes without rebalancing everything. Rename this rack bass snapshot. Now the pre-master. Subtle is the word. Route all groups into pre-master and put a rack there. Add glue compressor. a limiter for safety and utility. Macro 1. Glue amount. Map to glue compressor threshold. Your target is like 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on the drop, max. We're not mastering here. We're just controlling. Macro 2. Master tilt. This can be utility gain or a gentle EQ tilt if you prefer. Keep it tiny. Plus or minus half a dB territory. Macro 3. Mono check. Map utility width from 100% to 0%, but this is not for final automation. This is for checking. Consider it a momentary tool, not a snapshot state you print into the final arrangement. Rename this master snapshot. Now, before we move on, high value coaching moment. Decide macro immunity right now. What should never change between sections? For example, a safety limiter ceiling, DC filters, some mono protection, anything that prevents disasters. If it's safety critical, don't map it. Snapshots are for creative states, not for removing seat belts. Also, do a quick calibration trick to stabilize your /B tests. At the end of each snapshot rack chain, add a utility. Map its gain to a macro called output trim, but set a narrow range, like plus or minus 1.5 dB. Now each snapshot can compensate slightly, so you're judging tone and energy, not louder wins. This is huge when you're making revisions fast. Cool. Step 2. Build the snapshot triggers in session view. Create a new MIDI track called Snapshots Dummy. Set monitor to in. That way clips can fire without you worrying about arming. Now create one MIDI clip per section. Intro, build, drop, breakdown, drop 2. The clips can be empty MIDI-wise. The important part is clip envelopes. Open the intro clip. Go to envelopes. Choose the device and choose the macro. Set each macro to a value that represents your intro pose. Example starting point. Drum LP'd around 1.2 kHz. Drum drive around 5%. Drum width 90%. Bass LP around 250 hz. Bass bite plus 1 dB. Drop level minus 3 dB. You're aiming for filtered, restrained, controlled. Now build. Drum LP higher, like 4 to 8 kHz, and you can even make it rise over time if you want motion. Build tension up around 10 to 15%. Bass LP opening to like 1 to 2 kHz. Bass bite plus 3 dB. And maybe a touch more glue on the premaster. Build should feel like it's getting ready to explode, but still controlled. Now drop. This is the main pose. Drum LP fully open, 18 kHz. Drum drive 15 to 25%. Drum crunch around plus 4 to plus 6 dB. Bass LP fully open, 18 kHz. Bass bite plus 6 to plus 10 dB, but use your ears and watch headroom. Bass width low, 0 to 20%. Drop level at 0 dB. And now the magic moment, when you click a single clip, the whole mix jumps into that state. That's why we're doing this. If you're running both tight techie drums and a chopped break, consider giving the break its own rack and snapshot controls too. Break processing has its own personality. You might want a tightness macro, like drum bus transients or a gate threshold, so the break can go from loose jungle to modern punch depending on the section. Step 3. Print these snapshots into arrangement. Cleanly. Here's the workflow. Session view is for audition and performance. Arrangement view is for committing. Go to arrangement view. Turn on automation arm in the top bar. Hit record. Start playback from the top, or from your locators. At each section boundary, launch the snapshot clip. Intro to build to drop and so on. Ableton writes the macro changes as arrangement automation. Now your automation lanes are mostly macro lanes instead of 20 scatter device parameters. So if you need to copy an 8-bar chunk, move the drop, or reorder the breakdown, you're not dragging a fragile pile of automation around. You're moving a few clean lanes. Important little don't get full tip. Right before you print, hit back to arrangement for any parameters you touched manually. If you've been tweaking knobs by hand, they can override what you think the snapshot is doing, and you'll blame the snapshot when it was actually the leftover manual tweak. Back to arrangement keeps your recall point clean. Step 4 is revision mode. This is where the workflow pays off. Let's say someone says, the drop needs more impact, but the build should stay restrained. Do not start drawing new automation. Go back to session view. Open the drop snapshot clip and adjust only its envelope values. Maybe drum drive from 18 to 24%. Bass bite from plus 7 to plus 9 dB. Maybe a tiny output trim adjustment so it doesn't just get louder. Then re-record the automation pass into arrangement. And compare. Use undo history. Or better, save versions. V07, V08. This is how you stay fast and fearless. You can also re-record only part of the song. Loop around bars 33 to 65. Record automation while launching drop and breakdown. You don't need to replay the entire arrangement every time. Now, quick advanced tricks. First, global quantization is part of the snapshot feel. In session view, set global quantization intentionally. One bar for clean section switches. If you want fill style toggles, set it to quarter note or eighth note so you can punch in quick gestures without slop. Tight DNB transitions are often just clean timing decisions. Second, snapshot debugging. If a revision breaks the mix, duplicate your drop clip and name it DropSafe. In DropSafe, zero out the spicy stuff. Drive, resonance, parallel filth. Now you can instantly /B and isolate what caused the problem. This saves you from hunting through racks under pressure. Third, treat snapshots like section level balances, not continuous movement. If you want evolving motion, like a riser filter sweep or a talking reese, put that motion on the source. LFOs in the synth, clip modulation on the bass audio, dedicated FX sends. Keep snapshots mostly like intro pose, build pose, drop pose, so rearranging sections doesn't create weird half sweeps and accidental transitions. Now a very powerful variation. Two-layer snapshots. Make two dummy MIDI tracks, one called section snapshots for intro, build, drop, break, another called moments for short, momentary clips, impact for half a bar, fill for one bar, darken for two bars, mute bass for one beat, band pass sweep, whatever. The trick is the moments clips should override only one or two macros, like an impact clip that nudges drum bus boom a little, bumps transient slightly, maybe adds a tiny saturator push, and then you're back to the normal drop state. This gives you last two bars energy moves without rewriting the whole mix state. Another advanced option if you want more stability. Chain selector snapshots. Instead of changing multiple drive knobs at once, build a rack with chains. Clean, crunch, smash. Map chain selector to a macro called drum mode. Then your snapshot sets drum mode per section. It's a clean hard switch, less unpredictable stacking. Also consider range locking per song. After a quick mix pass, tighten macro ranges to what actually works in this project. If bass bite only sounds good between +3 and +7 dB in this tune, lock it there. Smaller ranges equal more surgical revisions. And if you're on Live 11, macro variations can be another clean way to store intro, build, drop states on the rack itself. Clip envelopes are super explicit and flexible, but macro variations can be tidier in big templates. Now, a few pro tips for darker, heavier DNB. Make an impact macro on drums. Map drum bus boom with a tight range, like 0 to 20%. Map drum bus transients with a small range. This audio version is shortened for playback.